My name is Lacey, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from lust, busyness, and materialism. I grew up in an amazing family in Paris, Texas, that is. My family was an Easter, Christmas, and Mother's Day worship type of family. But God put multiple people in my life to always point me to Jesus, be that example, and to be that foundation in my life. One specific person was my Mimi. She wasn't my birth grandmother, but treated me as one of her own. From 8 to 18, she sponsored me at church camp in East Texas. I understood that Christ died for my sin as a preteen and began walking with him. However, the walk hasn't always been rainbows and butterflies. My hometown believed it was all about who you were, the works you did, and who you knew. In the sixth grade, I spent the night with a friend, and her uncle sexually abused me. I remember being in shock, feeling violated, and knowing my parents would be so disappointed in me. A week later, my friend said she had to move. Her uncle had raped her. The guilt overwhelmed me. If only I would have spoken up. We just swept it under the rug and moved on. I began working to busy myself while crushing on boys and worrying so much about my looks and material things. Very quickly, those became my priority. I still talked the talk at church, but I didn't walk the walk. I had one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Yet as I was accepted to serve at the camp I'd been attending since age 8. What an amazing opportunity to learn, grow, and serve. 3 summers, I poured into my children and teens, into the many children and teens, but built lifetime solid friendships and had more fun and fellowship than I'd ever experienced. I learned what abiding in Christ and putting him first looked like. However, leaving camp was always hard because I knew what was ahead in Paris. Distractions and less of God and more of me. My last year at camp, I decided I wanted to move to Dallas and become a nanny. I went from surrounding myself with faithful followers to knowing only a few people in Dallas. I got quickly consumed with work. I had lots of debt for a young lady and had to work it off ASAP. Instead of clinging to Christ like I had done all summer long, I slowly wandered back off the path. There were too many churches to choose from, so many malls to shop at, and an abundance of guys we didn't have in Paris. The city lights and worldly distractions definitely caught my eyes. I met my first boyfriend on MySpace. Christ was not the center. Christ was not the center of our relationship. After 2 years of emotional abuse about my weight, he cheated on me. My heart was broken. Instead of healing from the relationship, I quickly jumped on another online dating app. This life became very addictive and unhealthy. Date after date, hookup after hookup, heartbreak after heartbreak, the cycle was exhausting. I finally settled down. However, he made it very clear that he didn't believe in Jesus, didn't want lots of kids like I had hoped and prayed for, and the emotional abuse continued as I gained even more weight after starting my own business and taking all my stress out in sweet treats and fast food. Even though we were headed towards marriage, I was so lonely. Something was missing. I'm a hairstylist for brides here in Dallas, and hear love story after love story. With each bride's story, I felt more and more convicted about how he wasn't God's best for me. I knew if I stayed in this relationship, I could possibly take my kiddos to church alone, and I didn't want my future to look like my past. I wanted my family to be a Jesus-seeking family. I didn't know how I was going to afford rent, where I was going to live, or what my future would look like. From the bride's stories, I knew that God transforms lives and love stories, and I came to believe that he might have a special love story written for me too. After I moved out, I became lonely again and hadn't quite hit my rock bottom. So I turned back to online dating. It's all I'd known for years and all I thought I deserved. I was terrified to log back onto my profiles and reactivate them because of my past. I met the guy online that I thought had been waiting for all these years. He was the Christian man I'd always dreamed of, and he was moving to Dallas soon. We talked for weeks and finally met up. I was smitten, head over heels at first sight. The weekend was filled with fun and happiness. However, when he went home, the red flag started flying up. Lie after lie, manipulation, and lots of trust issues. I had to end it. It just wasn't right. I thought I loved this man so quickly, but something was off. One morning he called. He said he needed to confess something. He shared with me that the woman in his, he said he had been engaged to 8 years ago, was actually his wife. And the little boy in his profile picture wasn't his nephew, but his little boy. He had a fake ID, a fake identity, and so much more. I didn't know what to believe of all the stories he had told me. My heart broke into a million pieces. Hold, please. I was an adulterer, a homewrecker, and a mistress. The more he shared their story, the more I felt manipulated, lost, and just beyond broken. This was not who I wanted to be. I knew at this point I was beyond off the path. Being an adulterer was beyond shameful and definitely had me falling at Jesus' feet. I knew my life was about to change dramatically, and I was ready. I'd finally hit my rock bottom. I needed Jesus. I remembered one of the shepherds at my home church in Paris pulling me aside once and telling me that I had wandered off the path too far. Jesus loved me and that I'm his daughter, and it was time to come home. I've been drinking from all the wrong wells for all too long. I was thirsty, lost, and in my eyes, a train wreck. In Luke 15:6, Jesus says, when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have strayed away. I remember my first night at Regen, walking through those double doors, knowing God had a plan and future for me. However, it was so hard to see hope because of all the destruction in my rearview mirror. I loved all the joy in the greeters and the amount of people that were there on that cold December night, showing me that I wasn't alone. I needed community around me again. I needed good, solid Christian women to speak truth into my life and pour into me. I was ready to go all in. I remember someone sitting on that stage that night and thinking to myself, wow, can't believe they just laid it out there like that. It was such a good feeling to know I was in a safe place. My recovery in Christ looked like this. I came in knowing I was a serial dater, a workaholic, and a control freak. As the weeks went by, I realized God was peeling back the layers and showing me daily who I am and that the past doesn't define me anymore. I didn't truly understand what grace was. I sang Amazing Grace growing up, but didn't understand the true meaning. Now I know that I don't have to perform good works for God to get him to love me. He just loves me. Groundwork was amazing. I realized that I was not the only broken one and that there were others on this journey. My favorite lessons were keep coming back and sober 24 hours. They reminded me that I just needed to not worry about tomorrow, but to be committed to my sobriety today and to keep coming back each week, no matter what my days may look like. When I was placed into my step group, I noticed that the ladies were all in different stages in life and had varying interests. I believe that God formed this group, and I was excited to see why he placed me in these specific ladies' life. These women are still currently some of my very best friends. They aren't seasonal friends. They are my sisters in Christ, and they were put into my life for a reason. What impressed me about my leaders is that they were raw and vulnerable with us. They were honest and such a good example of authenticity. They also set a high standard for us in our recovery, pointing us to God's truth and holding us accountable each step of the way. I was thankful for the daily lessons and accountability with the other women. I previously thought the Bible was boring and that it was hard for me to sit still and read, but I began to trust and believe what was written in the Bible, and it started to change me. I know it seems weird, but I love the inventory process. It was good to see the sin patterns that I created in my life and how I have hurt those around me and how I'd been hurt by others. I'm so thankful that the Regen steps pointed me to a God who heals and loves me unconditionally. Me, the adulterer, sinful, and completely broken woman. Step 8, forgive, was a challenge for me. It was hard to think about forgiving the men who had lied and abused me. I was afraid that if I forgave them, that I would be letting down my guard and that they could somehow come back into my life. And I didn't know most of the real names. I just knew their online names. I had to pray and process that God had forgiven me for so much, and therefore I needed to forgive others, no matter how big or small the offense. I came to understand that forgiveness is me releasing them to God and not carrying the burden of their sin myself. Just like in the other steps, I wanted to be obedient and give my hurts over to him so that I could be free from the baggage that had been weighing me down for so long. One of the commitments that I made while in Regen was not to date. I decided to give God my extra time during this process, and it was the biggest blessing. It was hard, but it has been neat to be faithful and obedient to what he had called me to do. In step 10, I relapsed one night, and I remember getting my car and crying like a baby and immediately confessing to my accountability partners, my mentor, and even my leaders. I realized that I wasn't strong enough by myself. I felt so horrible I put myself in that situation. It was so sweet to see that God had changed my heart, to see the ugliness of my sin, and then give me a desire to honor him in just a few months. I now understand that confession and repentance is the path to healing. Confessing to others and having them pray for you and then repenting, which is turning from God or turning from my sin and moving towards God, is what he calls us to do. Another huge milestone in Regen that I experienced was paying off my credit card debt. I attended MoneyWise Watermark's financial training program and learned about God's view of our money and possessions. I came to understand that I'd been enslaved for years by my debt, and that being debt-free was like having a new life in Christ and no longer being a slave to my sin. I was able to make the final credit card payment and felt the freedom from the slavery of debt. As soon as we commenced, I couldn't wait to pour into the lives of others and show them the mercy and love God had poured out onto me. I wanted them to see the joy and bubbliness in me was God shining through me. I knew I wanted to go back through these steps and dig deeper into what God wants and desires for me. God has been so faithful in answering so many of my prayers and blessing me beyond my hopes with amazing women to run the race with. I currently have the pleasure of watching 11 beautiful women walk through these steps and grow in their relationship with Christ. It's so sweet to see lives, including my own, transform right before my very eyes. As a leader, I'm learning that it's still day by day. I could be lonely being a single 30-year-old. However, I'm not alone. Christ has transformed this heart of mine. He has rebuilt me through these 12 steps this year. I've learned to share God's story of grace in my life and give him the glory when sharing my faith to others. Before, I was shameful, and now I see it as an opportunity to show how big God is. I'm not living in fear anymore that my abusers will reappear in my life. I have learned that we all fall short, and God is the only perfect one. I can trust him and lean on him. I've learned to have a structured repentance plan, not to go back down or wander off the path again. Learning about my identity in Christ, the region, has been huge. Knowing he created me the way I am and loves me regardless of how I look, what my past looks like, or all the times I've strayed. In step 11 this year, I focused on craving God over food and over comfort. I acknowledged that I had to crave Jesus and allow him to satisfy me. Shopping, men, success, and food have been my safe havens. But I was ready to continue running this journey with Jesus and let him fulfill me. He is the portion I need and is the only one that can satisfy me. I've learned to lean on his strength and get me through versus my own understanding. I still struggle with busyness and workaholism, but knowing who I am in him and that all I have is his and not my own is such a sweet reminder. I didn't always say I have a new life in Christ from night one. It actually took me a few steps to say it. I wanted a new life in Christ and for my life to bring glory to God before I said it. I wanted to know that I truly was leaving the destruction behind me and not only walking with Jesus like the past, but running with him going forward, allowing him to hold my hand and carry me through the good days and the bad days. I couldn't always see the good in my testimony, but now I see grace, goodness, and so much patience from God. I didn't think it was possible to love again with all my heart because I've given so much of my heart to others. However, God has picked up each piece and has been putting this beaten and broken heart all back together like an old jigsaw puzzle. He is the ultimate heart healer and lover of my soul. If this is your first time here tonight, thank you for being with us. I'll be praying for each and every one of you and hope and pray you continue to seek Jesus. Go all in, keep coming back, and continue to be obedient, and listen to him tugging at those heartstrings of yours. Thank you for letting me share.